This is where we put our stake in the ground. To me, those words that Mike spoke are very powerful. They also indicate that it is very difficult. It takes commitment and strength to put that stake in the ground and be dedicated to this concept of the family church, gathering around God's word and prayer. Now, I'm so thankful that we have a family like that in our family here at St. Paul's. But I tend to compare myself with other people. Anybody else do that? I kind of go, well, I'm glad they've got that kind of strength. But I don't. And that's why I appreciate our lesson for today so much. The lesson for today reminds me of the Case IH factory tour. You know, my son started to work at Case IH. Now, I think I'll get a better deal on my next Case tractor if I do this, you know. So my son started to work at Case IH, and for one of my birthdays, he said, hey, Dad, I'll come with you on a factory tour at the Racine plant. And so I got my own little tractor, and we went on this tour to see how power was built. And as I think about the lesson that we studied today, God is taking us on a tour of a power factory to let us see how power is built for us and for our families. So I would invite you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. It is a long lesson. I'm going to read through it now, and then I'll be referring to it regularly through the sermon, and there's a couple of times when I'll just say, hey, could you read this along with me, because I think these words are powerful. So page 1171, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. As you're turning there, just remember how Paul began his letter to the Ephesians and how we began this family church message series. It's important for us to remember our awesome identity. And so that's how he starts this letter. He reminds us that we are chosen by God, that we are his sons, his daughters, and that we are holy and blameless in his sight for Jesus' sake. That's your identity. And now then, he begins a prayer that leads us on God's power factory tour. He says, chapter 1, verse 15, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us or in us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, the first thing that strikes me in this lesson is Paul's prayer. In fact, for the first time, I've read Paul's prison epistles for years and years and years. For the first time this year, I realized that prayer is such an important part of Paul's prison letters. And I mention this because this is really important for some of us who we don't have kids in the house hold anymore. And this whole family church series, we can kind of check out and go, well, that doesn't apply to us. But Paul is sitting in prison, and you would say, well, he's checked out. He's not involved in God's church anymore. But in his prison epistles, his prison letters, over and over again, he talks about prayer. That he's praying for these Christians. He's praying for the churches. And he's asking them for prayer. You may not be in a nuclear family. You may be a single person all alone in your house, and you go, how does this whole family church apply to me? Well, we can be like Paul. We can pray for the family churches that are represented here and that we know personally. And what does Paul pray? He prays that we might understand God's power, that the eyes of our heart would be open. Let's pray that the eyes of our hearts and the eyes of the hearts of the pastors, the moms and dads who are in the family churches of our congregation, that the eyes of all of our hearts would be open to understand God's power. And then Paul takes us on what I call God's power factory tour. Now this tour begins behind a rock. The tour begins on Easter morning, where he says that that power is the same power, verse 20, he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. When Paul talked about somebody rising from the dead in front of some of the Roman governors, they called him crazy, because you and I know that nothing can come back from the dead. Even kids begin to understand that. I remember one morning, one of our kids looked in the fishbowl and he said, Melissa is swimming on its side. There was nothing that we could do to make Melissa come back. We just gathered around the toilet and we had an observation as we buried her in the sea, you know. Dead is dead. But on this power factory tour, we see the stone rolled away. And we have a God who could raise the dead. And not only that, but then that power is given to Jesus. That he has a power that has no equal. He goes on and says that God raised him from the dead, verse 20, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. And as you read through Paul's letter to Ephesians and the letter to the Colossians, it's very clear that when he uses the terms rule, authority, power, and dominion, he's talking about the spiritual forces that are around us, the godly angels and the evil angels. He is far above all power and dominion. And every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Now, this is hard to believe. That Jesus has all power. That's what he told his disciples. All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Therefore, go. Really? Just this past week, again, a pastor that had been a blessing to thousands of people resigned in disgrace, defeated by Satan. Jesus, if you're really that powerful, how could this happen? You see, this is why the Apostle Paul is praying that the eyes of our hearts would be opened. This is why he takes us on this power factory tour, so that we can see what is not visible by sight. You really have all power in heaven and on earth? How do I know that for sure? You got to go back to that first stage in the power factory tour. Is the tomb empty? You see, this is what our faith is based on. Go back and read the Gospels about Jesus' resurrection. Read through Paul's letters and just see how often he talks about Jesus as risen from the dead. Is this true? It all hinges on this one fact of God's awesome power that he could raise the dead. And if he raised Jesus from the dead, then Jesus has all the power. There is nobody who has power over him. And then on the next stage in this factory tour, we see that then God explains that God gave Jesus that power for a purpose. In verse 22, it says, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything." Let's read that phrase together. "For the church." If you see sermons or commentaries on this, you'll probably see it C in a capital C, just to remind us, because that's the way we usually talk about C with a capital C is the Holy Christian Church that we confess in the Apostles' Creed, the church of all believers in Jesus Christ all over the world. He rules for the church. And so that means he rules for this church because there are believers present. And so God's church is here. And he rules for the family churches because there are believers present. So he has all this power for this purpose. Benefit of our families, family churches, small groups, Christian circles of friends. It's all power, and he uses that power for our benefit. But again, so often you can't see it. You know, if you didn't grow up on a farm, the kind of things that these powerful tractors pull seem pretty strange. You know, there's moldboard plows, and then there's chisel plows, and then there's discs. All these different kinds of implements that these powerful tractors pull, and they are pretty much destructive. They destroy everything behind them. And you go, why is the farmer pulling these implements through the field that destroy everything? And you know very well, this is the way that the farmer uses these implements to prepare the soil for the next crop. Let's be honest. This God of power pulls some strange implements through his church. If he is ruling for the good of the church, boy, there are some strange implements. A week and a half ago, Hurricane Florence comes on shore in North Carolina. The first victims that I heard about were a mom sitting in her home with a 7-month-old baby boy? God, you are all powerful. What? I don't get it. Strange. Just this past week, 3 different families have experienced the pain of possibly losing their unborn children. Why, God? It doesn't make sense. And in your family, there is pain that makes you go, are you really in control? But remember, we've gone through this tour. We've seen that Jesus rose from the dead. That's the guarantee that our God has limitless power. And then he entrusted that power to his son. And he's using that power for us, for the church. And so, yes, he's in control, but he's pulling this strange implement that allows so much pain and sorrow in our families. And that's why Paul writes. That's why you and I have the call to pray for our families, so that the eyes of our hearts could be open to see what cannot otherwise be seen. You see, if you believe that in spite of what you see, that Jesus is ruling all things for the good of your family, you're reminded that there's another part of this world. Because you only believe that because of the blank wing of God's power factory tour. You've got to write your own name in. I'm going to talk about Pete's wing of God's power factory tour. You see, the very same things that God did for Jesus, you and I are united with Jesus. So we go back and we see. There's another way. There is this incredible power that is at work within our families. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. It begins behind or underneath a rock. Paul reminds us, you know, when you lift up a rock and you see all of these, you know, creepy crawly things and maggots and stuff, you go, ugh. That's what God does. He lifts up a rock and says, look at that disgusting stuff. He sees all of our sins. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. But then look at verse 6. God raised us up with the very fact that you can see that our God is in control, even though I can't see it physically, I can see it spiritually. That's evidence that God has used his power, the same power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead. He's used that power to create faith in you. It is by grace you and I have been saved. We couldn't do it. We couldn't make the dead alive, but he has. He's worked that miracle in you. And not only is he have this power to raise the dead, but he entrusts us with a power that has a purpose. Take a look at verse 6 again. God raised us up with Christ. And now look at this next phrase. And seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. God, open the eyes of our hearts to see that we have a power that has no weakness, a power of grace. Because right now, you and I are seated with Christ at the right hand of God in the heavenly realms. Jesus has all power and authority at his disposal, and so do you and so do I. I can't see it, but by faith, when God opens the eyes of our hearts, this is true. We have limitless power because Jesus hears our prayers. It is no wonder that Paul was such a prayer. He prayed because he knew, even though he was sitting in prison, apparently defeated by the powers of Satan, he was sitting in prison, but yet he had limitless power to call upon, and he was fervent in prayer for the family churches that he had founded all over the Mediterranean world. Brothers and sisters, please, let the Holy Spirit open the eyes of our hearts to remember that when we see so much pain and sorrow in our families, with kids going in directions that just break our hearts, and we just go, what can we do about it? Remember, the pastor of a family church, and every one of us is a pastor of some kind of family church. The pastor of a family church, you have limitless power because you sit at the right hand of God with Jesus. And he promises, ask, and I'll give it to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, the door will be open. Let's keep pounding on that door. And then he gives us that power for purpose. We are God's creation, God's handiwork, God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We are here. This is part of that whole idea of vocation that we talked about last week. We are here where God wants us to be, to use the power that is at work within us. The power that raises the dead, the power that has all things under his control, to use this power in our roles as pastors of family churches to bless our kids, our grandkids, our nieces, our nephews, our friends, our co-workers. But what should we use? Power of grace pulls implements that are not known to us, not known to me. God has prepared in advance good work for you to do. So very often we don't know, okay, how am I to serve as the pastor of my family church? Do my kids need discipline? Do they need strong words? Do they need words of love at this point? How do I serve my family church? What tools should I use? You know, should I use a Bible storybook? Should I read right from the Bible? When should I do it? You know, there's all kinds of unknowns. But trust that the God of power, who's just taking you on this factory tour so that you can know his power is at work in you, that God of power will hear your prayers and will make plain to you how you can best serve as the pastor of your family churches. You have power.